And it falls into the scope of the tantric teachings. Generally, to do a tantric practice, one needs either the blessing, the what's called the Jainang, or the initiation, what's called the Wang, in order to imagine yourself as that deity, you know, in this case, the medicine Buddha. Some people have had that, many of you haven't, and so we're going to do the practice in the way that you do not yourself become the medicine Buddha, but you imagine the medicine Buddha in your heart. Okay? Now, the medicine Buddha is the same nature as all the other Buddhas. Okay, so all the Buddhas have the same, the qualities of the omniscient minds of all the Buddhas are the same qualities. Now, a Buddha's omniscient mind manifests in different physical aspects in order to communicate with us, because we're very dull beings and we can't, tune into the Buddha's omniscient mind all by ourselves. So they appear in physical aspects because those physical aspects, you know, have a certain, they resonate with our mind in certain ways and bring out certain qualities. But all the Buddhas have the same qualities. So don't think that Medicine Buddha is like a different person from Shakyamuni Buddha, who's a different person from Tara, who's a different person from Chenrezig, you know. But rather, all of these are manifestations of omniscient mind. And actually, once you're a Buddha, you can manifest many different physical bodies. Okay, so when you become Buddha, you can simultaneously appear as Tara, Chenrezisi, Medicine Buddha, and Manjushri. Okay, so there's no problem with all that. It's a little bit difficult for us to understand because we're used to thinking of everything as being quite discrete, inherently existent personalities. But when we think about the Buddha's qualities, it begins to pull us out of that a little bit. So the Buddha appeared in the form of the medicine Buddha in order to lead us to enlightenment, to show the qualities of enlightenment, to establish a meditative practice that, you know, helps us to develop the attributes we need to become a Buddha, you know, such as wisdom and concentration and so on. The practice also helps us purify our mind and develop positive potential, which are preconditions for developing concentration and wisdom. And because it's the medicine Buddha, it also has the byproduct of helping us with our health and enabling us to be more sensitive in helping to help others with their health. Okay, that doesn't mean we're all going to come out of here as healers and go open up stores. Okay, but what it does is the practice brings about that benefit, because we're concentrating so much on the medicine Buddha, and this is his speciality. So the medicine Buddha, when you know, you visualize him, I think most of you have the card of the medicine Buddha. So his right hand is on his right knee, and it's holding the stem of the aurora plant. And this, when you make Tibetan medicine, I'm not sure about Indian medicine, but my guess is it's the same. The aurora is the one of the basic elements in Tibetan medicine. It's a healing herb. And so the medicine Buddha is holding, you know, the stem of the aurora plant. I've had the opportunity to make some blessed pills, which are a little bit different than Tibetan medicine, but they also contain aurora in them. And it's this very hard seed. And we were there with mortars and pestles, I mean big mortars and pestles, and pounding. Let's see. So, but it forms the basis of a lot of the medicine. And then in his other hand, His other hand is in the mood of concentration, like Shakyamuni Buddha, holding the alms bowl filled with nectar. And so the nectar, again, is against the four maras, or the four negative forces. Okay, so one of these is death, and then the second is the contaminated five aggregates, meaning our contaminated body and mind. And the third are the disturbing attitudes and negative emotions, which are the cause of the suffering. So the contaminated aggregates, contaminated body of mind, and the four truths, that's the first truth, the truth of suffering. And then the disturbing attitudes and negative emotions are the second truth, you know, the cause of suffering. And then the fourth of the negative forces that the nectar eliminates is one spirit that causes problems, you know, that likes to afflict various people. So these are levels of, you know, other beings that we can't see with our eyes that sometimes can cause problems. So the nectar in the bowl that the medicine Buddha is holding represents, you know, overcoming those four negative forces which cause pain and misery in the lives of sentient beings. Okay. The medicine Buddha practice is good not only for physical health but also for mental health, because by purifying our mind of negative karma, by developing positive attitudes through doing the meditation, our mental health is improved. Okay. When we improve our mental health, it affects our physical health. You know? There's a few ways that, you know, the example you gave this morning is a very good illustration of it. You know, when you said that when your mind is really filled with attachment, there's an energy in your body, and it's not a relaxed, peaceful energy. You know, that energy is going to affect your health. When we're angry, there's another kind of energy in our body. And again, it's not a relaxed, peaceful energy. And you can feel how that's going to influence your health. I mean, just in a very gross way. I remember one time I was vacuuming my apartment, and I was really mad at the time. Somebody had done something. I was really mad, and I was vacuuming, pushing this vacuum cleaner, you know. And all of a sudden, I stopped and I said, "I better be careful because I'm going to hurt myself." You know. Have you ever had that experience of just you've been so angry? Maybe you've been driving a car, or you've been chopping vegetables, or whatever you're doing, but you know that you're going to hurt yourself just because your mind's so filled with anger. So that's a very gross way of how anger affects our health, but it sure happens, doesn't it? You know, a subtler way, just when we walk around tense from the anger or from the attachment, that also is going to affect our health. And we also know that, you know, when we're ill, if we can have a peaceful mind when we're ill, that's going to facilitate our recovery. Okay. Now, I must say in this discussion that I'm not a member of the group of New Age people who say that you have cancer because you caused it to yourself. Okay, there's a certain kind of New Age thing of, you know, kind of because you're so angry you made yourself have cancer. I don't think anybody wishes themselves harm, okay? So I don't, and I think that saying things like that makes people feel more guilty when they're sick. Of course, you know, when we get sick and when we have good health, all of it's related to karma. Okay? Now, when we have good health, it's because of positive karma. When we have poor health, it's because of negative karma. Karma originally stems from the mind because of our motivations that made us say or do different things. But a lot of these karmas that we created were in previous lifetimes. Yeah? And then they ripen this lifetime, either as good or bad health or whatever. Okay, so our mind is related to our body and our health in a number of different ways. One is this karmic way. Another way is just by the energy that they generate in our, those negative emotions generate in our body in this life. Forget about karma in future lives. Okay? And in the same way that when we transform our minds and we have a happy mind, it affects our health in a number of ways too. One is that the energy in our body changes, and that facilitates healing. And another way is that when we have a happy mind through our Dharma practice, then even if we're sick, even if the body has difficulty, the mind is still happy. Because sometimes maybe the karma from a previous life is very strong, the body gets sick, or, you know, and it can't get cured. I mean, the disease is there and it's going and it's difficult to turn away by medicine and cure it completely. But even if that's happening, still you see people who react to their illnesses in many, many different ways. And some people fall ill and they totally fall apart mentally. Now, they just can't cope with the fact of being ill. Other people are ill and their minds are very happy and peaceful. Yeah, we see this, don't we? So there's a big difference, you know, because and it's a very interesting thing to observe when you're not feeling well, or even when you're meditating and you have pain in your body. Observe how much of it is physical pain and how much of it is the mind saying, I don't like this feeling. Mm-hmm. And there you can begin to see, you know, another way in which if we have a happy mind, even the physical pain is there, it's manageable. But when we have an unhappy mind, then even a small physical pain makes us go bananas. Well, we've had that experience, I think. So watch in your meditation, you know, like if your knee hurts or your back hurts, you know, observe what's the physical sensation. And then, you know, really scrutinize what is my mental reaction to this physical sensation. Now, and we can watch how our mind really spins off, and it'll get, you know, into my knee hurts. If I don't move my knee, it's going to cause permanent damage. You know, I better move my knee. Why am I sitting in this position anyway? You know, why do they make you sit cross-legged to meditate? What a stupid position. Why did I come to this retreat? What a dumb thing to do, you know? And sitting here with my eyes closed, what in the world am I doing? I don't like this at all. It shouldn't be like this. You know, when is the bell going to ring? This is going on forever. What's the purpose of sitting here so long? Why doesn't the bell ring? And, you know, and then pretty soon the mind is just, I mean, the mind is miserable. And we've gotten so caught up in being angry that we almost can't pay attention to how much our knee hurts anymore. Because we're angry at the whole world. Okay? So watch sometimes when you have pain, the story that your mind makes about the pain. Okay, very interesting. And really try and separate out the physical pain from the mental pain. Okay? Because sometimes the physical pain's there, we can't do a whole lot about it. But the mental pain, we can transform and do a lot about. Okay, so when we talk about healing and, you know, using the Medicine Buddha practice to heal, there's different levels of healing. Okay, kind of the grossest level is let's make the symptoms go away. Okay, you know, my disease goes away, my pain goes away, good, I'm cured. But, you know, and the Medicine Buddha practice can bring that about. But the thing is, as long as we have a body that by its very nature gets old and sick and dies, it's just going to get sick again with something else. Okay? So in order to eliminate this whole cycle of death and rebirth into a body that we have no control over, then we need to eliminate the ignorance and attachment that causes it. And to do that, we need to realize emptiness. And so this medicine Buddha practice also helps us to understand emptiness and to develop the concentration that's going to support the realization of emptiness. Okay? So we're working at different levels when we do the medicine Buddha practice. You know, ultimately what we want to do is cut the ignorance, anger, and attachment that cause us to take a body that by its nature gets old and sick and dies. Yeah. On a more superficial level, the practice can cure a disease that we're suffering from, enabling us to live longer and giving us more time to practice the Dharma. Doing the practice can also change our mind and our attitude, and thus help us either accept the disease that we have, making it more endurable, or helps us heal from it by, you know, changing the attitude in our mind. Okay? Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
Are some people still back with, why is she talking about a body that gets old and sick and dies? It's very interesting. We had a Jewish Buddhist dialogue on the day before yesterday. And I talked about this there. I could tell it really pushed some people's buttons. Yeah? Because we don't think about this very much. We take our body for granted, you know. And we think, you know, what's wrong with having a body? Is the Buddha saying it's bad to have a body and we shouldn't, life is bad and, you know, all of this kind of stuff? You know, is this the same old negative thing about the body that I've heard before again and again that I don't like? No, it's a little bit different here. Okay. But what it is getting us to think about is that you know, if we think deeply, is your idea of happiness having a body that gets old and sick and dies? You know, that's not our idea of happiness, is it? If there were an alternative to that, it would be good, wouldn't it? Okay? Now, if you look at our present body, by its nature, it gets old and sick and dies. Do you know anybody who it doesn't happen to? Yeah? Do you know anybody who's been able to have a body like ours that doesn't die? Yeah? Or who has a body like ours that doesn't get old? Or who has a body like ours that doesn't get sick? I mean, this is a given. As soon as we have a body like this, you know, guaranteed sickness, aging, and death. This is one of the reasons why the Buddha advised getting out of cyclic existence. Yeah? Because cyclic existence means taking a body and mind that are out of our control again and again. Okay? Now, when you're a bodhisattva and you have compassion, you know, and you're at a high, not even ordinary bodhisattvas, you have to be a high level of bodhisattva, then you can manifest a body that looks like ours and help people. Okay? And your body may look like it gets sick and old and dies, but something else entirely is going on because you didn't take the body under the influence of ignorance. You know, you manifested a body under the influence of compassion for others. So your experience of it is completely different. But the determination to be free, what we've been talking about today, is to be free from having to take a body and mind under the influence of ignorance, anger, and attachment. Because as soon as we take that body, the rest is certain. You know, the only way to prevent aging is to die the moment after conception. You know?
time. Say that again.
The only way to prevent aging is to die the moment after conception. Now, will you remember those of you who've studied the 12 links of interdependent origination? You know, you have birth and then aging and death. And it all comes from ignorance, the first link, which caused the whole thing, which produced karma, which made us have a consciousness, you know, that got the karmic seed implanted on it, which made us have the consciousness that jumped into the next body. You know, and there we go again, another rebirth. So, you know, what our aim is to stop the cycle of rebirth, you know, so that we'll have some happiness, and to generate the bodhicitta and have the enthusiasm to appear out of the motivation of compassion in many different bodies for the benefit of others in order to lead them on the path. So this is what this practice is aimed at doing. This is what it's getting towards. This is the framework we're putting it in. So it's not just a practice, you know, so that I don't get cancer, or so that I don't get kidney disease or heart disease. You know, the ultimate aim is to get us out of cyclic existence altogether. Now, short-term benefit is, you know, it can have an effect on our health this lifetime. Okay? Also, in the Tibetan medical system, the Tibetan doctors all do the medicine Buddha practice, you know, because when you're trying to diagnose somebody's physical ailment or prescribe medicine or do like that, you need a certain kind of sensitivity, a certain kind of intuition. I mean, you have all your book learning, but you all know that book learning doesn't make a good doc. Okay, there's something else that's going on, and it has to do with, you know, the ability to really sense what's happening in the other person's body. You know? And not only that, but your ability to cure or to help others when they're ill depends on your relationship with them. And if you can be a kind person, then if you're in a helping profession, you know, you're going to be able to help people a lot better. Yeah. I have one relative, this is on tape, maybe I shouldn't say it. No, I'm joking. But, you know, whose personality is very kind of heavy, you know. I mean, not a person who smiles and is relaxed, but just heavy, doesn't make eye contact. Yeah. Now, if you're going to a doctor that doesn't make eye contact, yeah, that's going to influence you as a patient, isn't it? Yeah. If you go to a doctor that doesn't smile, that's going to influence you. If you go to a doctor, you know, that is a happy, friendly person, then you have so much more trust and confidence. And that's going to help your healing, you know, help your healing so much. So, you know, a lot of people here I know are in healthcare professions, not just caring for the body, but caring for people's minds. And, you know, if you do that, if you have a certain energy, a certain presence around you, that helps the people that come to you for help to heal. Okay? So the practice helps you develop, you know, not only your ability as a kind human being, but also that kind of intuition or sensitivity to be able to sense what's really going on with the person's body and give a correct diagnosis and prescription. Okay, so we know that it's not just book learning to make a good professional. So when we're talking about healing, you know, I mean, many of you I know are doctors and nurses. Some of you are therapists or social workers. Some of you are weight advisors. How do you describe your profession, Bobby?
Dietetics,
yeah. But, you know, helping people learn to manage their weight. And the same thing here is, you know, I mean, you need that same kind of sensitivity to be able to help people. Some of you may be car doctors, or computer doctors. Yeah? You know, maybe Medicine Buddha can help with that. So you don't pick the computer up and throw it across the room. Yeah? So the practice works on many, many different levels. Okay? When we're thinking to improve our own health, it's not just so that we'll have a happy life this time, okay? Because eventually we're going to have to die, okay? But at being able to be healthy, the whole purpose of being healthy is to be able to practice the Dharma, okay? Now this is a way we have to change our mind, because I think most of us, I don't know, maybe I should just speak for myself, but I'm very attached to feeling good and to being healthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And when I get sick, then the mind goes, I'm going to die. I want to feel good again. I don't like feeling bad. Now the thing is, that happens very naturally, doesn't it? But the thing is, when we're trying to heal, to remember that the purpose of getting better isn't just so that we get rid of the pain and we feel good again. Okay? Because as long as we have this body, we're going to get sick again. So the ultimate purpose of feeling well is so that we can practice. Okay? And by practicing, purify our mind, accumulate good karma, positive potential, gain some realizations so that we can actually go beyond the cycle of death and rebirth. Okay? In the short term, at least we can purify the negative karma that causes disease. Live a longer life so that we can continue to practice and purify and gain realizations with the eventual purpose of getting out of cyclic existence, and not just that, but attaining full enlightenment so that we can help others most effectively. Okay? So we want to take care of our present health for the benefit of our practice, which is for the benefit of all living beings. Okay, so this is something to try and remember in your life. When you're mentally unhappy or physically ill, when you think, I want to feel better, remember it's, so that I can practice and attain enlightenment and benefit others. And then when you're well again, don't just take it for granted, but really use the time and opportunity to practice. Okay? Because if we just do the practice and try and get well with our usual motivation, which is I don't like pain and I want to be happy, then it might bring that result, but that's a limited result. And we'll find ourselves right back where we started from. Okay? You with me? Yeah? Okay. So that's a little bit about the practice. I'll explain more, in the upcoming days. I thought it's probably good if we do it right.